the next consideration is to try to phenotype patients. And as you're aware now, historically, we would have branded patients as having asthma or COPD. And some people have felt that we actually should get rid of that terminology and instead talk about eosinophilic asthma or postgranulocytic asthma or neutrophilic asthma. I don't think we're quite there yet, but in the era of biologics, where, as you'll see, some of these biomarkers are particularly important, it is important that we make these measurements. So we're very fortunate that peripheral eosinophil count in pretty well all of the anti-IL-5 programs of research, peripheral eosinophilia has been a very useful predictor of response. And if you look at all of the anti-IL-5 ligand or receptor antagonists, the greater the blood eosinophil count, the greater the likelihood of a response. Serum IgE is of importance in terms of omalizumab. Exhaled nitric oxide is another very useful marker of where we inflammation. With regard to dupilumab, certainly an abstract form and soon to be submitted as a manuscript, it's been shown that if you have an elevated FeNO and an elevated peripheral blood eosinophil count, if you have both of those present, it predicts a better response to dupilumab than if you have lower levels or you only have an increase in one of them. And there's also historical data with regard to omalizumab in that regard. Sputum assessment is a challenging way to phenotype patients. Even within the research setting, it can be challenging. I'm fortunate again to work in a center, and we have a program whereby we can do sputum assessment. And this is very important. Again, there's certainly evidence to show that some patients who are unresponsive to anti-IL-5 treatment, despite that therapy's effect on its peripheral eosinophil count, if you do sputum assessment, the reason they're not responding is they have persistent eosinophilic inflammation. Identifying patients with neutrophilic inflammation is important because we know that those patients are much less likely to respond to anti-IL-5 therapy, for example, or anti-IL-4/13. We are fortunate it's not a topic for today's discussion, but we know that, for example, azithromycin is effective both against eosinophilic and neutrophilic airway inflammation, as shown by Peter Gibson in a study a couple of years ago that was published in The Lancet. So these are important markers. The blood eosinophil count is readily available, as is the serum IgE, access to exhaled nitric oxide, and in particular, sputum assessment is not so easily available. But making these measurements, especially if we're going to identify patients with these more unusual hypereosinophilic syndrome, is very important. In terms of my own practice, as I say, peripheral eosinophil count, IgE, I again do FeNO in certain parts of Canada, certainly in all of Canada, there's limited access. And I know from speaking to colleagues in the United States, it's similar there. And sputum assessment is very inaccessible. But again, I'm fortunate because we have a very broad research program in this area that we can actually use that program to use selectively sputum eosinophilia.